afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. And
welcome back to the Bald Monkeys Pick Podcast. Yes, we are here. I got Christopher somewhere. He's over that way.
Hello. Other way.
I got Steven. He's over here.
That way.
We got the big baby. We got big baby Jimmy over here. We are doing our pick podcast for NXT TakeOver in your house. So we are going to run through picks for the show. Right now, there's only 6 matches. So it seems like it's going to be a quick show, you guys. What do you think?
Some of those matches could run pretty nicely. Give them 15, 20 minutes apiece. Not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's necessary for the women's matches in particular to just give them some time. Let them develop something really good. I can't say that I'm a huge fan of everybody on the Team Knox, Team Kai match, but it's like minus one. It's like you minus one wrestler off of each of those teams. I like the other two wrestlers on each of those teams a lot. And I think, I want the ones that I don't like as much, though, to win me over. So yeah. Give them some time. Let things develop. When you have that many people, you can literally go spot, 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 spot. So there's no reason. I feel like I'm a believer now that there's no reason that a wrestling match that has more than two people shouldn't be just amazing the whole time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, done right. You're right.
It's like, more people equals more content equals better product, right? I mean, that's instead of it's just like these four moves and these four moves, now it's these four, now you got like 12, 15, 16 moves that you're ready for. I don't know. I get it. My concern is, are we going to get the sitting around, laying around, waiting for the next spot, or are they going to do the right production for it? And I think because we're taping a lot of this, right? A lot of this stuff is not live. They've been doing a lot of filmed matches. They're going to have more time to put it together the right way. Speaking of a filmed match, we're going to have a parking lot match, right? Is it a backlot match?
Backlot, yeah.
Backlot match. That could go long. And I think it could go long and actually be good. Separate from some of the matches we've seen in the past where we're like, it was long and it wasn't good. It was too long and it just kept going and it needed an ending. That one with Dream and Cole that's been building for, I don't know, a year now at least, if not longer. Yeah. I mean, how long have those two been in NXT? It's basically been building that long. And that's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to that match, and I'm looking forward to seeing who picks who in this one too.
Yeah, the match with what I deem Team Knox versus Team Kai, it's almost kind of reminiscent of – like what happened at War Games in a way. It's like the second iteration of that match, just with a little bit less people, different new people thrown in too.
Is there any rules to that match?
I didn't see any.
There rules. Can't be, right?
So
it's got to be wide open, you would think.
Yeah. That I'm not sure of. I didn't see any rules put up anywhere, stipulations or
they'll make whatever. The change right before the match starts.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't we just start off with that match? You got Team Knox versus Team Kai. We'll go with the boss underneath me.
I think I'm going with Kai this time. Really?
That's weird.
Your phrasing was weird.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Wait. I think I'm going with Team Kai. I think it's like Jimmy was saying, it has the potential to be a really good match if done properly. You have some of the people who aren't as polished, I guess, as the other four, that this gives them time with other people to show what they can do, gives them a little bit more confidence and a bigger type match for them, and it'll be an all-around good match, but I think Team Kai gets it in the end.
Nice. Jimmy?
You know, I hate to make a pick on such a silly thing, but back a while ago when they broadcasted that Evolve show on WWE Network, I found myself becoming a little bit infatuated with the way that Shotzi Blackheart wrestled. And so I'm such a big fan, and I haven't been pushing very hard on Shotzi Blackheart. I've just been letting her do her thing and letting her get a little bit better, because she's a little rough around the edges, and you know, people don't like to catch her, and so she just slams into the floor. But honestly, perfect example of what I love about her, because she just gets up and keeps going. You know, I think on that Evolve show, she like dove through and then nobody was there, and she just slammed into a bunch of chairs and just, I mean, that's good stuff. I also think that on her same team, you know, you've got Tegan Knox, and Tegan Knox is, and I was discussing this with Sarah the other day, like Tegan Knox is one of the last things in NXT that you just don't see very much anymore, which is a face, a true face. I mean, who else is a true face in NXT for the women right now? Because I don't even know that I look at Shotzi Blackheart and consider her to be that. And the only person on that team that I'm really looking at and going, oh, wow, yeah, that's a face, is, I mean, everybody's this weird shade in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't gotten there yet, but when we get to like Ripley, Flair, Io, it's like, where are they on the range? Like, nobody's a face anymore. So Tegan Knox is one of the last great faces, and it makes it compelling if she wins, her team wins, and I'm all about Shotzi, so I'm going with Team Knox.
With her being the only face, it's more likely she's gonna lose.
So says the boss, who is all high and mighty since he won like a couple times in a row.
Oh,
Christopher.
That guy. Oh, impressive.
Christopher, who you got?
So everything both of you said makes sense. My thing is, I think the winner of the match is going to be, like Jimmy said, Tegan Knox. I think she's going to come out with some, and Shotzi Blackheart. Those two are going to come out with the biggest spots, the best spots, the most hero moments. I just think it makes more sense for this storyline to continue going on with some spinoff where Shotzi has a feud with somebody, or Tegan continues the feud with Kai. So while I think they're going to have the best match, I think Kai's team actually wins, probably in some sleazy way where it seems like they're going to not win the match, and then all of a sudden they pull it off with, you know, a foreign object or pulling somebody out of the ring, some way that it was last minute that they basically got the win. So,
or one of those spots they go to take, they crash and burn, and somebody just pins them for it.
Yeah, it just, for the story, it makes more sense for the heels to win, right? Well, if they are even heels, so Dakota Kai's team to win, to progressively lead that story going forward into whatever the next pay-per-view show is. So I'm going to go with Kai's team.
Jimmy's nice. Brain's a turn, and I think he's starting to be converted.
No, I don't know that I agree. I don't know that that's best for story, but...
So...
I think bad writing.
Hey, it's not always bad writing.
We're in NXT. We're doing okay. Yeah. NXT's...
Yeah. They've had some stinkers. Can we admit, though?
Can we admit that NXT's gone downhill a little bit? Like, they've been doing some suspect things.
Yeah.
They need the crowd back.
Yeah. They're
so bad.
Truth. Need
the crowd back.
Definitely. So, we have our podcast. We like and subscribe and follow other people's podcasts. We talked about them last week, but we have a podcast friend out of DC, who friend, because we don't really know who they are, but we like them. I like them. I mean, Chris listened to them, or that way. Chris is that way to me. We added them into our pick stream here. So before I get to my pick, we'll give the T3 podcast pick. For this match, they chose, as they deemed it, the Tank Girls. So they're going with Big Baby Jimmy and agreeing with him and going Team Knox. I myself...
They just went down a notch.
I myself am also going with Team Knox. I think it's finally time for Knox to get just a little bit of a head on Dakota Kai, because she has just been knocked down so much by her over the last number of weeks, months, whatever, that I think this is where she kind of gets a little bit of, hopefully, revenge at this pay-per-view. So, but
see, now you just make me want everybody just to turn on her at the end of the match.
Well, you know, but what's interesting about, like, the saying the continuation of the story argument that that's going on with you guys picking the opposite side, I think what makes that such a valid idea for a pick is that they're desperately getting to the point now where it's just like, we're so close to having crowds. We're so close to having little dispersed crowds. It's like, we just want to get back to that so that we can right the ship. And we want to maintain all of these storylines until then. That being said, it's a bad idea. People have still been watching. So
people are still going to watch them, but you want to have a crowd for that one-on-one.
Get the win, know, Team Knox. Let's go.
Not gonna. Sorry.
Let's go. All right.
No, I go digress. Back. No, but I go back to the Gargano Ciampa effect. The fact that I always felt like, I think we talked about this, Kai and Knox had that kind of chemistry where it's like, man, we could have a feud similar to that Gargano Ciampa feud. And at the end, I always wanted Gargano to beat Ciampa for that storybook ending to get the title for the first time. Well, that didn't happen, right? And Gargano ended up beating Cole to get the championship, which was fine, but I felt like it wasn't right. Ultimately, the story needed to end with Gargano winning over Ciampa and winning the belt. That made the most sense because that was where the stories were going. And I just feel like Kai and Knox, this, they're not there yet. I don't know where they need to get to. I don't know that it needs a belt, but I just think that winning this match isn't going to necessarily put Tegan over on Kai. And I feel like they've kind of went away from the whole feud in the first place. We've kind of forgotten about it, where they've inserted Shotzi Blackheart, and she almost seems like she has a bigger feud with Dakota Kai than Tegan Knox right now.
So, serious question, which of course in Big
These
Baby
are all
Jimmy,
serious questions.
Which in Big Baby Jimmy land means it's not a serious question. But so, serious question, are you telling me that the Gargano Ciampa feud ending with a cup on a table was not the right thing to do?
I'm going to have to say it was not. No.
No, not even close.
No. No.
I hope that they didn't wash that. I hope they didn't wash that cup before they put it in the, you know. You got to hold on to that memory. It's nostalgia, guys. It's nostalgia.
Oh, please go to the next pick.
Oh, my. Okay, next next match, we got Finn Balor versus Damian Priest, the boss.
I feel like Finn gets it. He's getting kind of a, I don't know. I've watched both of their works over the last couple months, and I just feel like Finn deserves it more, almost, to keep him in any kind of storyline moving.
Jimmy?
I believe that, as sad as it is to say it, Damian Priest, you have been typecast as the guy who is bad, who goes up against the people that everybody likes, and that person just ends up beating you. you're more compelling. You're not quite a jobber, but you're not quite, you know, hitting
she's
it over the
Baron Corbin of NXT.
Exactly.
Damn it, you stole my thunder.
Sorry.
Dead on. Baron Corbin of NXT.
And that's why Finn's going to win.
And that's why Finn is going to win the match, yes. So I pick Finn Balor.
Christopher.
I defer my time to Steven because he stole my thunder. Yeah. Damian Priest is the new Baron Corbin of NXT, which is not a bad thing. That gives him all the potential in the world to be a really great heel for NXT. And I think he's on the cusp of it. It's just he can't just keep hitting people with the sticks, the nightsticks. I mean, he needs something else. He's not the big boss man. He needs a different kind of scheme or way of winning over. So
can he shoot people with arrows? He is the archer of infamy, right?
Probably not a good idea.
No shooting.
What if they were like arrows with like Nerf arrows?
I was gonna say, what if it was like a Nerf gun?
Shot Nerf arrows.
Gotcha.
It would literally have to be like the sickest looking toy Nerf bow and arrow ever. Yeah,
they can figure that out.
It's WWE. They got tons of money.
Yeah. Finn Balor wins the match. Damian Priest probably takes a cheap shot on him after the match, and they could even prolong this for a little bit. So I think Finn Balor's the right pick.
Yeah. So we're all in agreement. I'm siding with Balor. T3 sides with Balor. So we're a 5-0 on this one, a sweep.
Clean sweep.
Let's see. We will go to the NXT North American Championship. Jimmy is already shaking his head. Oh.
Keith Lee. I'm just going to skip over you announcing who they are. Just okay. Keith Lee.
That works.
I don't really care for Gargano winning it again. I don't really care for a lot of Gargano right now. I feel like he's in limbo almost with what his character is supposed to be. He wants to be a heel so bad, but everybody loves him as that underdog baby face, and it just doesn't work for me.
Jimmy.
Keith Lee, it's not your fault. I just want you to know that. I have respect for you. I like you. But literally every fan of you around the world has made you the most overrated wrestler in NXT. It drives me crazy how much they push you and they misbook you. And, you know, I'm sad to say, like, based on principle alone, I'm going to pick Gargano because I want nothing to do with Keith Lee being the North American champion anymore because they have misbooked him so much. Again, I want to emphasize, that's not on Keith Lee. That's on the way that they've been writing him and pushing him. And it just doesn't make any sense. Now, realistically, do I think that Keith Lee and me and with, like, I'm sure Mia Yim and Candice LeRae will be in that mix somewhere, even though they already have a match, like, why not still insert them in again? And when we start factoring that in, like, do I really think that Keith Lee's gonna lose? Of course I don't, but I also can't pick him, so I'm picking Gargano. And if I'm happen to be right, then I'll be very happy.
You don't happen.
I don't think I'm going to happen. That's why I just said I probably wasn't going to happen.
I understand what you just said.
Christopher.
It's a very interesting match. Not on paper and not because of the storyline, but just because of what direction this takes us after the match. It's Jimmy makes all the right points, where Keith Lee, as the North American champion, if anything, has lost steam. He had all that momentum, and giving him the title actually somehow made him completely lose that momentum. If Keith Lee continues down this path as the champion, he's in NXT, and he's probably destined for more feuds like this, Damian Priest and Gargano, and maybe back to Roderick Strong. I don't know. Mid-level matches that really are, I don't want to say underneath him, but he's got more than that. So if you let Gargano win, does Keith Lee go up to the main roster? That was my first thought. My first thought is Gargano wins this match and Keith Lee's gone. But I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb because I wanted a storyline similar to this to happen on the main roster and it never happened. I want to say that Keith Lee wins this match and they somehow twist this into a mixed match going forward where the title is on the line no matter who wins, the woman or the man. So I'm going to say Keith Lee retains, but I'm going to say it turns into a title later on, a title defense later on where they do a mixed tag. And I would love to see somehow Johnny Gargano pin Mia Yim or put a finisher on Mia Yim to win the North American title, and that's how they take it away from Keith Lee. That would be interesting to me more than just a straight Gargano winning the title off of him this weekend. So I'm going to go with Keith Lee retaining.
Yeah, I thought about the same thing about Keith Lee going up because, I mean, if you're reading stuff online or seeing stuff on Twitter, there's rumors of so many people getting pushed up.
They're panicking.
Yeah, so many people getting pushed up to Raw or SmackDown or whatever. So, yeah, I originally was like, I mean, that would be a good way. But then, you know, you kind of have Mia Yim there also. And, you know, are you going to bring her up as well? And I was like, as much as I like Mia Yim, I don't know if it's the right time personally for me to do it.
But it's the couples. But it's the couples factor.
Yes.
Tell me any couple right now that's not together. WWE has actually done a really good job, you know, whether it's the right decision or not for the story. They allow the couples to stay together wherever they are.
Yeah, they're it's true.
On SmackDown together, on Raw together, wherever they are.
What about Zack Ryder? She was in NXT.
That's different. She wasn't ready to be up. That's
you
not the same
the couple.
Story.
You said, which couple?
The argument is Mia Yim not being ready to come up, though.
Yeah.
But that is Chuck's point.
Yeah.
Zack Ryder doesn't work for WWE, so I'm not even.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Zach. You know, we liked you.
Love you, Zach. Yeah. L.I. Strong.
If you want to come on the podcast, just hook up with us. Let us know.
He did post his text number out there the other day on Twitter, and he's responding to people.
You know, I tried to talk to Cody, and he just didn't want to talk to me. He was like, dude, you're too bald for me to even talk to you. And I was like, man, it's okay. It happens to me.
It's the shtick. It's the shtick for the podcast.
Exactly.
It's our shtick. We do this for the podcast.
Exactly. So I am going to go with Keith Lee on this one. For now, I think he stays down there for a little bit longer. I don't know where the story is going to go. I mean, I like Chris's idea. It's interesting. It's different. It's kind of new, you know.
It's a good payoff.
Yeah, it would be interesting. And, so I'm going with Keith Lee. And
Baron Corbin would have freaking just pinned Becky Lynch. And won the title that way. How good would that storyline been, guys?
He didn't start going after women until after that match.
Wrestling Twitter just would have blown up too.
But
you know what? I'm with you. I really like the idea because when I was watching their little mixed tag match the other day, and before everything really kicked off, Mia Yim gets into the ring and drop kicks Johnny Gargano, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, WWE, stop playing with this stuff. It's like, if you want to make Gargano a really effective heel, you know what you need to do? You need to have him just wallop Mia Yim and pin her, just like you said. And
it's just one super kick. Just one super kick will do it. And all of a sudden, but the other point is, are they waiting for the crowd? Because think about the negative heat he gets when he super kicks Mia Yim with the crowd there, with the NXT universe there.
It could be like when Randy Orton RKO'd Stacy Keibler in the ring.
See, and I was just going to say, do we call that move the Randy Orton effect? But also, do we remember when Randy hit the RKO on Beth and like the crowd was half and half? There were some people that were calling for it.
Yeah.
And then others were like, no, you can't do it.
Well, it's all about how you do it, right? Everyone in the world knew that Beth Phoenix was taking an RKO that night on Raw.
It was like, not out of nowhere.
It was not out of nowhere at all. It was literally out
she
of
she got an of, invitation handed to her.
Right here.
I'm so Turing. Take RKO.
It's I think they could do it though. If all of a sudden, you know, Mia's in the ring, she's helping Keith Lee to the corner, she turns and Gargano just super kicks her. Place goes crazy. Like it would be amazing.
Yeah. So T3 also picked Keith Lee. I know.
Jimmy's all alone.
I'm not changing my pick, but good luck, Jimmy.
call that the single stuff pick because I'm by myself picking single stuff on this podcast.
We call that the big baby loss then.
But you know what? Most wrestlers tend to agree with me, so I'm fine with this.
Wrestlers are also trying to consistently cut weight and, you know, are on these crazy diets. That could be part of it. They're just out of their mind.
It makes you think.
Wow.
It makes you think.
Wow.
So,
I disagree. All right, continue.
So we'll go to the NXT women's match. We got that triple threat. It's Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai, the boss. He's doing research now. I can tell. Look, he's crunching numbers over there.
I'm going with Shirai. I don't think the other two need it at all. I think this is a way to pull Charlotte back away from NXT. You might have her down here for a rub match here or there, but you pull her back away. Honestly, she would fit better on Raw right now with nobody but Nia Jax to go against Asuka. I know we've seen Asuka and Charlotte, but this could be Asuka's way of getting that win over Charlotte whenever you put them back together. And I don't think Ripley really needs the belt either. I think this could be a way to give her a few more months down there and then pull her up for something else. Like maybe let Charlotte win the belt from Asuka in a few months and then Ripley show up because she never got that singles match for her belt back kind of thing. So she's coming after Charlotte's or something. You could pull the two of them away and just let the NXT women's division keep growing. They have so many people that are right there on that verge of being good that if you just let them have that time, they could do it. So, yeah. Go ahead and disagree with me, Jimmy.
I don't know that I disagree with you at all. I think the second that Becky Lynch left because she was pregnant, it was necessary to bring Charlotte Flair back to the main roster because they need the star power for it. And and to match up with what we were just talking about, people getting moved up, I think there was maybe this idea that we were taking NXT a little more seriously and we were moving people like into it, but a culmination of like everything that's happened and them, you know, they care about their ratings. They care about their ratings against AEW, and AEW's been spanking them a little bit recently. And so like all those factors, I think they're like, we don't need Charlotte Flair on NXT anymore. Let's get her the heck out of there and let's push her. I think Raw, obviously, like you said, Raw makes all the sense. So then logic would tell me, do I want Rhea Ripley or do I want Io Shirai?
Ripley don't need it.
I'm not going to pick on logic. I'm like bored of trying to pick like what's actually going to happen in WWE. Because they like we joke, they make so many bad writing decisions with it that, you know, I lose the fun fan in me. So I'm just going to like pick who I really want to win. And who do I want to win? Guess what, Steven? I want Io Shirai to win. Love Io Shirai. I believe that I've got two people in mind when we talk about female wrestlers in WWE. There is who I consider to be the best females wrestler, who is also maybe the best wrestler in WWE, and that's Charlotte Flair. But the best female athletic wrestler that exists in WWE today is Io Shirai. She is incredible. I don't think anybody matches her in the ring right now. And even better than Sasha Banks, in my opinion. So
That's big praise coming from you,
man. That's big praise. Io Shirai is like the real deal. So I'm going to go with her just as a fan. I'm picking as a fan. I want Io Shirai to win.
Mm-hmm. Christopher.
I don't know.
But I'm calling a three-way tie.
Well, I think that's man, there's so many angles in this match. I think that's you guys just kind of talked through a bunch of them. It's you need Charlotte back in the main roster, but technically she's been wrestling everywhere. So do you really need to call her up or just let her just keep doing what she's doing and have like the Charlotte Flair show where she's on every single show and wrestling everybody on the roster?
Yes, but you're going to get very – it is great now, but you're going to get desanitized to her, and she's not going to be worth anything, so you're not going to get those big match feels to her sometimes because she's been there against every single body – so every single body – been there against everyone so much.
But once the fans come back and they start traveling, she'll have to commit to a show. I mean, this is only going to go for so long, and then they're going to have to stop it, so why not milk it until the end? I don't know where the ending's coming, but –
And Io to your Shirai. Point earlier, the couples thing. I mean, Andrade is on Raw.
She's on Raw. Unless Andrade moves away from Zelina Vega, which I don't think is the right move, I think she ends up on Raw and her and Asuka go back into a feud, which I love. I think that's a great idea. So I have to ask myself, do I pick as a fan? Do I pick through a story? That's why I'm kind of like, I don't know.
With both of those picks, it should be the same person, and you should be agreeing with me and Jimmy.
I don't know if it makes sense to give Rhea Ripley the belt back. I don't know if it makes sense to let Rhea follow Charlotte up to Raw, but would that just kind of dilute the product that much more in NXT? Do they care enough to need the roster in NXT to be strong? Is Io Shirai destined to be on the main roster? Is she going to go feud with Asuka instead of Charlotte? Is she going to go feud with Bayley, or just take the belt from Bayley and let Bayley and Sasha have a feud with no belt? Because you don't necessarily need the belt with those two because the feud has been built. So,
and I think that they've prolonged that, or they added to that. I think this last night when the single title will be dropped, and then when they lose the tag titles, that's when they're going to implode. And I don't, like you said, they don't need the belt for it. They can have a great series of matches. Let them have, you know, some ones you don't expect. Let them have like three stages of hell kind of match. Just let them have just a night just to beat the hell out of each other.
Iron Man match. They could probably pull off an Iron Man match where it's a timed match and they get all the finishes. They could pull off that.
You do a singles match, you do a cage match, and then you do an Iron Man match. They're not like a 20-minute Iron Man match.
They're not two of that. You're over here playing PS2, man. That ain't happening.
That's an idea.
Two of them are able to do that, though. Like, the two of them could carry that kind of a match.
I agree that they could do it, but you're literally playing PS2 with what you think they're going to put together in WWE. That's not going to happen.
Some of these shows they've had have not had anything to carry anything, so might as well let them run with it.
I'm with it, but I'm with it when we're playing with the controller.
Why not?
Jimmy's jumping in. Wait, let Jimmy jump in. I need more time to think.
Why not just, like, you guys talk – I mean, and I know this is getting off course just a little bit, but why not just let – Bayley dropped that title. You have these tag titles, and then they just fix the tag team division. Just fix it. You've got it on the perfect people at that point. So why not just let them run with it? And then your long-term goal, because it's a long way down the road, so you can actually make this happen and not seem crazy. Tea time. Have it be tea time that takes the belts off of, and then you're talking about legitimizing the tag titles big time at that point.
Now, do they hold the belts the whole time, or do they drop them here and there?
No, they hold the belts the whole time because it's the four horse women.
I get having that imploding match when it comes to them versus tea time. But at the same time, unless they just start throwing a bunch of teams together, I feel like it makes sense that the Iconics should have won the belts and then Banks and Bayley take it from them later on.
I'm with you on the Iconics winning the belts. They could be the perfect heel tag team to hold those belts, continually be sleazy when they win it and retain it and retain it and retain it. Just steal wins left and right. They would be awesome.
Just want all those awesome impressions too. Just start doing those awesome impressions again. They're the best thing that Jeff Comics do.
Look at me. all right. So I need to pick.
Heel and heel.
I need to pick.
You do.
I need to pick somebody. I'm going to pick Charlotte to retain.
God, you're so wrong.
And I hate that pick.
You're being so contrarian for no reason. You know you want to pick EO.
I do.
Then do it. As a wrestling fan, do it.
No peer pressure on this podcast.
He wants to win the picks.
Christopher is sticking to his guns. Well, T3 agreed with you and I love you, Charlotte EO. Flair. I, however, am siding with the other monkeys and going with Io Shirai.
So none of us think Ripley has a chance, huh?
I don't think it's...
I don't think she needs it.
Kind of like with the Keith Lee thing. She was at an all-time high, and when she had the belt, she kind of just floundered a little bit.
Well, not with the match against Charlotte. I mean, that match was epic.
That was a good match.
Great match.
Nobody expected that match to be anything because of how her title reign went. That was a great match.
They did a great job.
Yeah.
I love you, EO. I love you, EO.
Don't listen to him. He's lying.
I think some of these NXT writers are a little bit sharp, and I think what happened was they were like, oh, no, we're turning Rhea Ripley into Becky Lynch, and we've seen how not great that ended up being. Like, it's kind of a – I mean, and don't get me wrong, lots of people love Becky Lynch, but – you know,
it had an end. Like it wasn't going to be forever. You need to somehow pull it back so that you could push it again.
And so they pulled back Rhea Ripley before it got a little bit too far.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So next match, we'll go to a favorite of the podcast. We'll go to Ciampa, however you want to say his name, versus Cross. In we're just gonna destroy each other match outside in the back lot. Boss.
In the back lot too?
Isn't it? No? Am I wrong?
No, the back lot match is Cole and
for the okay.
Dream.
Yeah. It might end up in the back lot.
It might. I mean
Is there rules to this one?
Again, no, it just says a singles match from what I saw.
I feel like you have to give the edge to Ciampa. Like, because the Cross is the new coming in. Like, you feel like you have to give him the edge. But I think Cross wins it in the end. And you get that image of him standing over Ciampa after the match. I hate to say that, dude, because I love Ciampa, but.
Jimmy's thinking. He's thinking hard. I see the smoke rising above his Phillies hat that hopefully goes on fire.
So I feel like terrible. I feel like there's two ways of thinking about this.
Two guys.
Either that there's no way that Cross can lose because I don't know that works for story. I don't think it's a good move. I don't think it's a good thing for his character being so new. God, I hate making picks like this because when you're wrong, you're just so wrong. But I'm going to call that it's a no finish. It's got to be a no finish. They literally can't have a winner because I don't think that it's good to have Cross just straight up beat Ciampa because – I mean, it's like your first like serious opponent is like the top of the mountain, pretty much. I mean, I know he doesn't have a title belt, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, you have like 1A and 1B of NXT is Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa, and you're going up against like one of the people at the very, very top. So, you know, at worst, Cross is just going to win. But I think from a story perspective, at best, it's not going to actually finish. It's like either there's going to be a disqualification or somebody's going to interfere. Maybe it's Scarlett interfering or something like that that stops the match. and Cross
she does,
just
but that doesn't stop the match.
Well, yeah, but if there's no rules to it, then that means it would be a disqualification. I mean, if there are rules to it, then yeah, there's going to be a disqualification. And I think that that's the better storyline. I'm not saying that it's a misbooked match, because I actually kind of like it for what the story is. I just think actually having a definite winner and a loser is the wrong way of doing it. And NXT, please just allow her to come to the ring without lip syncing. Please. It drives me crazy. I like the entrance. We can still do the entrance. Just don't have her lip syncing on the way down. Okay. There you go. I'm going to go with a no finish.
Christopher.
So, unlike the last match, I'm actually going to pick with my heart in this match and what I want.
You're inconsistent.
Yeah. I am. I'm a wild card. So,
you're a New Yorker.
That too. There's something I've wanted for a while because it makes sense, because
double stuff Oreos.
It only works one way to me.
Single stuff.
Tommaso Ciampa is one of the best wrestlers in wrestling. But he is one of the best wrestlers in wrestling when he's a heel. Tommaso Ciampa is not a face. I'm not there for him as a face. So to get Tommaso Ciampa back to where he needs to be, you have to crush him. You have to break him down. He's lost to Gargano. Huge loss. And he has to go back within himself and see what does he need to do to get back. And then Cross comes and ambushes him. And the old Ciampa would obviously just go to that dark place and destroy Cross. But what if Cross defeats Ciampa again and we beat him down so much that Ciampa has to turn to that dark place, has to go back to that evil Ciampa? And that's the only way I get what I want, is Ciampa as a real heel again. So
it doesn't work.
I'm going to put Cross over.
And I'm gonna but let that doesn't Cross work. Win. But I'm... The problem with that writing direction is that doesn't work, because if you crush Ciampa even more, it like to you, you say, oh, well, that's going to get him from point A to point B and to getting to his dark side and being a heel again. But the people that watch him get crushed by Karrion Kross, Kross is a heel. And the more that he gets crushed by Kross, like, it's all that's doing is facing Tommaso Ciampa that much more. It's not the right way to get what you're looking for.
Not if he goes ape shit. You go off the deep end. Remember when he went off the deep end against Gargano in that match?
For like yeah, a moment. But
and
but
that was moment, he a what heel? Happened?
But was he a heel in that moment? Or was he was he a face going crazy because you did something that you just don't do with any person, and that's bring up kids?
But that brought him there. There's a catalyst
wasn't a heel,
that gets him there.
He was crazy in the moment, but he wasn't a heel in that moment.
I disagree. He tapped back into
I don't, I'm
that.
Interested to see what the other two guys actually think about that specific point. Like, so that point that he's making where the name of Willow was brought up, right? And then he goes off the deep end for a minute or two, just beating the crap out of Gargano. In that moment, was he a heel? Chuck,
no.
You say no?
No.
Steven?
That's like...
Steven, I can't hear
Steven,
you.
Steven, I can't hear you.
Sorry. He wasn't being a heel. He was being a protective dad. Any dad in that situation would have done that. And it wasn't necessarily being a heel. He's got the history of the heel to pull from. And I get your... relating that back to that, but that's not what that was. That was just that aggressive, you don't bring my kids into this.
I agree.
Did AJ Styles become a heel when Samoa Joe brought up his kids?
That's a different storyline, because he went over and held his kid and he was quiet about it, and he was like, I'm sorry. So he wasn't a heel, because he came off of that high. If Gargano doesn't come off of that high, he loses it. It's when guys go so far that they can't pull it back. Yes, in the moment when he says Willow, yes, that's when he's a protective dad. But as he continues and continues and continues and he can't control it anymore, control the crazy, control the Ciampa, that's when he goes back to that dark place and is a heel again.
But did he lose it? Did he lose that place by the end of the match?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not – okay, time out. I'm not saying Ciampa was a heel coming out of that match. I said for a moment he was on the cusp of being a heel again because I felt that energy that he could be a heel again because of that reaction. But then he went backwards when he went, it's okay, I'm sorry, it's okay, when Candace came into the ring. It's the same argument for Styles. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. If you go backwards, you're basically going into that protective father role. If you continue pushing it further and further, you go past the line of protection and more of just insane.
So T3 picked Ciampa to win this match. I viewed this match like we viewed the TNT match for the championship with Cody Rhodes and Archer. And I believe most of us, if not all of us, wanted Archer to win that match. And instead, Cody won the match, which, I mean, I'm fine with it. I like it. I like what Cody's doing with it. I see a lot of the same kind of stuff, title not being in this match for NXT, of course, but you have the new guy in town with Cross going up against a guy that has been in NXT for a while in Ciampa and who is, you know, a very known name in NXT. And I am picking Cross because I think NXT is going to do what, in my opinion, AEW should have done and not have the guy that you just brought in who is this, like, this beast, this person that can just destroy anybody and have him lose in his first, like, big match on a pay-per-view. So I am going with Cross on this one. So we'll see what happens. Well, now we're finally here. We're at our last match. We have the champion, Mr. Bebe himself, Adam Cole, Bebe, versus the Velveteen Dream, the Boss. What are you thinking?
I feel like the Dream finally gets it. And I feel like there's a lot that goes in all throughout this match. I think you see tons of interference from everywhere. I think it's very competitive. But the last time they did this, Dream was just really coming back, and he had some, well, not maybe not the last time, but the time they did it in the singles match, he seemed a little rusty in the ring. So I think taking it out of the ring gives him a little more freedom to rely on other abilities he might have. Adam Cole's had a great run with it. I think it makes sense to let him drop it here, either to bring him up to the main roster or to kind of just pull him back a little bit because he's had some injuries over time, just to let him heal up some and let Dream run with it. Maybe give him a month or so to see how he's doing before you decide if he drops it to somebody soon or not. But I think Dream has shown that, you know, the fans get behind him. He knows what he's doing in the ring, and I think it's worth it.
Jimmy.
You know, Adam Cole is very interesting to me because I feel like, you know, I watch a lot of wrestling and I have a tendency to get off of the boat pretty early with people. You know, somebody will be a, you know, a champion and yeah, it would have been a good thing. And like, I mean, I guess I could use, you know, like somebody like Seth Rollins or Becky Lynch as the example, where it's like very early on, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm ready for things to move. I'm ready for things to change. And Adam Cole is the enigma because, oh my gosh, I love Adam Cole. He's so good as champion of NXT. He is the best modern champion of any of the WWE belts that I think we've seen in a very long time. And literally every single promo that he cuts, and he talks about being the best and stuff like that. And I just agree and I believe it. And as a fan picking this, I never thought I would pick against the Dream, because I really do like Velveteen Dream, but Adam Cole's got it. And why would you ever take that away from him? Because he can make a match for that title be compelling against every single person that he goes against. Every single person.
You're right. And in that, the one feud I wish he would have got to prolong when he first came in was when Drew McIntyre was there as NXT champion.
Sure.
What if he drops the NXT title and then shows up after Drew takes out Bobby Lashley?
Starts
the feud back up.
Yeah, you've pitched it before. Like, you basically do a repeat, right?
Yeah, because they never got it because Drew got hurt. And I think it'd be the perfect opportunity to have them go against each other.
And I think that Adam Cole is a risky wrestler for a mainstream. Because you have to ask yourself, can we recreate the popularity of a Shawn Michaels realistically today in the mainstream?
When they did that invasion angle for Survivor Series, that pop he got when he came out there.
Yeah, he's popular. So I definitely believe that they could. But the other side of me, I guess the wrestling, like the real wrestling fans' view of it, is like, do I care for him to be on the main roster? Do I care for him to be in these silly little feuds? When it seems like one of my biggest complaints about wrestling in general is like the people that are on SmackDown, the people that are on Raw, even over these NXTers, they have a little bit more of a hectic schedule once everything gets going. And that equals out to bad wrestling, really, because when you wrestle all the time, you start lacking creativity. You're just tired all the time. I don't know that I want Adam Cole to go through that. You know, I think we've talked about people moving up and from NXT, and some of them I'm so fine with. Like, I'm fine with Matt Riddle going up to the main roster. I'm fine with Keith Lee if they move him up to the main roster, because he's more of a wrestler, I think, that would do well in that area than he does on NXT. But guys like Adam Cole, I'm so afraid of them just ruining him on the main card that I want to see him stay in NXT. And I'm off on a little bit of a tangent. Sorry about that. I'm picking Adam Cole.
It's Big Baby Jimmy. I mean, yeah. We expect that.
I'm picking Adam Cole. I believe Adam Cole is going to win. I think from a fan's perspective, that's the best, you know, the best thing that they can do. And
but what does that do to the Dream at this point? Because this is what
doesn't matter.
Four, the Dream's four been main title matches.
Hey, the Dream has been over for a while. Sad to say. So, you know, Dream over, not in a good way. And it was just because of a badly timed injury right when NXT was coming into its own on actual television. And, you know, that sucks for him. I don't even know that he has to repackage himself, though. I think they just need to hard reset him on the main roster. And because he's a bigger guy, I think mainstream people might take to him a little bit, or he doesn't even have to do that. He can come in as a heel. And I think mainstream people would definitely hate him, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Chris, over to you.
It's Adam Cole. I can't pick against him. Like, I won't pick against him. The guy's awesome. The guy is NXT. He has been NXT for the last year. And I agree with the Dream needing a reset. And I think we've talked about this in the past with him going up. I think he fits perfectly into a mid-card title like the Intercontinental title. imagine Dream coming up after Daniel Bryan wins the Intercontinental title and Dream starting a feud as a heel against Daniel Bryan and what that can be and how that could work. I think Cole wins, Dream goes up, Dream has a rebirth as a heel again, and Daniel Bryan would love to work with him and I think would bring out the best of Velveteen Dream.
Nice. Well, Steven's on an island right now down in the corner.
Keep him there.
I'm gonna give him a little help. I'm gonna give him a little help. T3 chose Velveteen Dream.
See, they're smart people.
You got another person with you, but I am going against you, my friend. I am picking Adam Cole with the other guys. I agree exactly with what Jimmy said. He is that epitome of a champion and something that we haven't really seen a lot with WWE. And I believe they keep it on him for some more time. I mean, there is an up in the air with his contract being up soon. Who knows what's going to happen there?
He ain't going nowhere.
You're going to
screw him out of it and he's going to write AEW as he walks out of the ring.
I think he stays with NXT and WWE, but yeah, my choice on this one is sticking with the champion, Adam Cole, siding with Big Baby Jimmy and Christopher.
That's never worked out good for picks, just saying.
We'll see. We will see tomorrow.
I haven't even been picking like I normally do. I usually go full story. Like, what's the story that I think that they're going to do with WWE picks? Because it's the only way I'm competitive. I've been picking really, really bad.
Don't do that because you've agreed to be on one of these.
Well, when you pick, but when you pick bad for WWE, you usually suddenly kind of get it right. So,
oh, well. Everybody, that's our pick show. We're going to wrap it up here. In Your House, NXT TakeOver tomorrow. Make sure you check that out. Check us out on all the socials. They'll be up here in the video after the show is done and our credits. If you are just listening to this, go to one of our Twitter pages. Go to the @bald_monkeys. I don't even know our own actual Twitter handle. That's Jimmy. Jimmy's got it.
Read the page.
Ask me questions.
Yeah.
Read the screen right here. Yeah.
He'll have it on the screen.
I will.
Send me questions. Ask me questions.
If we just keep pointing in directions, yeah. So we have to put stuff
talk
up.
Talk junk. Throw stuff at us. Whatever you feel like.
Yeah. Ask us questions.
Let Big Baby Jimmy know that double stuffed is the correct way to go.
Yes.
Tell the boss why he's completely wrong on a couple of his picks today. And
wow.
Or we'll see. Maybe he's right. We don't know.
History typically, you know, points to the fact of me being right. So
again, I go back to the fact he won 2 months in a row, and he thinks he's the golden guy.
It was more
than
2 months in a row,
bro. I've been there. I was at the top of the hill, and then I dove right.
And before
down.
I won those, I was like second for like 6 months in a row. So I don't want to hear it.
Well,
this
is where we do plug in that fact of the world, though, that as long as Nakamura doesn't win, we're all okay with whoever wins.
Yes.
Everybody's exactly.
Happy. Yeah, those six exactly. months I came in second, Nakamura beat me by one for like six straight months. It was very disheartening.
Well, dude has gone off on some pay-per-views. It's almost everything right, and you're just like, wow, how is this working?
And we don't even know if he's watching. We don't even know if he's watching.
He's too busy working all the time.
Stupid Nakamura. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. You have a great rest of your Saturday whenever you're listening to it, or an awesome Sunday if you're watching this before In Your House. Thank you guys for coming on this morning. Thanks for listening. Woo-hoo. Check us out. Get the socials. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. Tweet at us.
Yeah.
We will see you guys next
time.
Go listen to the new Run the Jewels album. People that like hip hop music, go now. It's a free plug for you. Run the Jewels. Free plug.
There you go. We're running some
jewels. You gonna drop a link in the description down below?
I don't know. That's Christopher's job. I don't know.
I can put a card up here.
Click that. See you guys next time.